by talking to a friend of the program. He covers the NBA for the New York Times. He is the man behind the New York Times NBA newsletter, a Cal State Fullerton and Big West Conference legend, recipient of the 2019 Kurt Gowdy Media Award, and again, friend of the program. He is Mark Stein. Mark, what's up? How are you?
Forget all that nonsense, man. Let's talk about the real Hall of Famer, Van Smack.
My man. My man. That's nonsense right there. What's up? I appreciate you saying that, though. Mark, how you doing?
All good. I'm in Toronto, so I have to be good. One of my favorite cities on the NBA map.
So glad you said that, Mark.
I'm leaving soon, but it's been a good visit here for the Kawhi Fest last night.
No, I'm so glad you were there for that. I could not wait. That's why I interrupted you. Sorry about that. I wanted to ask you about last night because there's a number of things that you and I can talk about and will talk about. But as you mentioned, that is such a great town. Were you at all surprised by that amazing welcome that Kawhi received upon his return last night?
No, I think that's really what people expected, just because it's such a unique situation. You know, they had a real inferiority complex here about the NBA and their place in the NBA. And so Kawhi comes here, they win it all in their only year together. And I mean, we've never really seen anything like that. We've seen so many superstars return and it goes the other way. I mean, just two nights earlier, Paul George went to Indiana, and obviously not even the first time he's gone back, not even close to the first time he's gone back, and you still see the way Pacer fans feel about Paul George forcing his way out of there. And this is Kawhi Leonard. He's got his own. He's the guy just continually does things we've never seen, and here's a guy he left Toronto at the first opportunity, and still before the opening tip, they're chanting MVP for this guy. That's how powerful that championship was.
I thought that was great. I thought it was a great night and a great moment. Mark Stein joining us. He covers the NBA for the New York Times, and again, responsible for the New York Times NBA newsletter. So there's a Knicks connection, Mark, to all of this with Masai Ujiri, because the Knicks fans are so desperate for him to come over and take over and fix things. First off, when you look at the Knicks, I know they got a win last night, but how would you describe the state of that organization right now?
You never want to say rock bottom, because as I learned on my very first beat in the league covering the Clippers, don't underestimate a struggling team's ability to go even lower.
Great.
And I learned the same lesson over again covering the 1990s Mavs. I remember getting scolded by one of my editors in Dallas early on when I said something like rock bottom in a story. And he's like, this is the Mavs. There is no rock bottom. And that's unfortunately how it is for Knicks fans right now. This is as low as they've been, heading for a sixth straight 50-loss season. Do you want to say it's the lowest they can go? No, because there's no guarantee that Jim Dolan is going to go out and do what everybody in the NBA knows he should do, can see he should do, telling him to do. I think even he sees it. The question is he finally going to do it? Go out of your comfort zone. Go out of the organization, pile the cash as high as you can, and hire a Masai Ujiri, an R.C. Buford, a Bob Myers. You know, Donnie Nelson has won a championship, and his name doesn't get talked about in these circles. Go hire a proven program builder. Give them autonomy and let them clean house and really start over. I think Dolan knows that's what has to be done. Is he actually going to do it this time? I think the jury is for sure still out on that, but Masai Ujiri is the name at the top of the list. And as crazy as it sounds, as great a gig as he has here in Toronto, one of the greatest cities in the world, I think he would go. If the conditions were right, I think Masai Ujiri would take that job.
Mark Stein.
Are the conditions going to be right? Is that offer actually going to come from Jim Dolan? And
so there's two.
I think you can hear my skepticism.
No, I know. I get that. Mark Stein, I was going to say conditions. Like, in fact, I was going to follow you up with that anyway. What does Masai need to hear in order to get to yes? What kind of conditions are we talking about?
He needs to hear that he can do whatever he sees fit. He can clean out anybody he wants. He can bring in anyone he wants, medical staff, fellow executives, coaches, whatever support staff, whatever infrastructure he wants to put there, that he's going to get the autonomy to do that. And James Dolan has never granted that. I mean, there have been small periods where it looked like Donnie Walsh had that autonomy. It looked like Phil Jackson had that autonomy, but they never fully had it. James Dolan always swooped back in to interfere and to meddle in trade negotiations or to block Phil Jackson from removing Steve Mills or bringing in the medical staff he wanted. And so that's what a Masai Ujiri or an R.C. Buford or a Bob Myers is going to have. And again, I mean, he should do it. Will he do it? I hope so, because it's sad to see what the Knicks have become. It's sad.
Mark Stein is joining us. Now, Mark, on a different note, you recently had a conversation with one of my favorite guys in that sport to speak to, and that's Jamal Crawford. What was that conversation like, and how badly would he like to be playing right now?
I mean, he's the ultimate gym rat. He's almost 40, and you can't get the guy out of the gym. So he's obviously desperate to play. Carmelo Anthony got his rescue from the Blazers. At this point, an opportunity hasn't materialized for Jamal Crawford. You know, we're at a state in the season where unfortunately, it's getting a bit worrisome to see where might that come from for Crawford if it hasn't already. But he's staying ready. I mean, that's for sure, and everybody knows he's out there. So, don't completely rule it out. But, I mean, we're almost to Christmas. Last year was the longest he had ever had to wait. He didn't really get the call until just before the season started from Phoenix. But, we're inching towards Christmas now, and he still hasn't been able to find a job. So, I hope it comes to fruition for him, but I have to say right this second, it's kind of hard to see where that comes from.
We're talking all things NBA with Mark Stein. Now, Mark, there's been a lot of talk about a possible midseason NBA tournament, and there are a number of different versions on what that might look like. What do you make of the idea overall?
Well, look, I think I'm a soccer guy, so I want to believe that this can work. And look, I do applaud the NBA for searching, for trying to find, for at least looking at alternatives, looking at ways to spruce up the regular season, because it's an issue. It's been an issue in our part of the world for a long time, but I mean, for baseball, for hockey, and for basketball, the regular season is just too long. It's not going to shorten because owners are never going to agree to surrender revenue. So the season is not going to get shorter in any of those sports. And it's not just fans. So, I mean, in the NBA, with load management, I mean, the message is just hits the public constantly that the regular season doesn't mean nearly as much as the playoffs. And you can't really mask that anymore. So what the league's trying to do with the midseason tournament, with the potential play-in tournament at the end of the season, they are trying to find ways to get people more interested in the regular season, to make it more meaningful. The problem with the midseason tournament, we are a one championship or bust culture. This is not a soccer culture. We are not used to our teams competing for multiple trophies in a season. And that's the other motivation for the NBA here. Adam Silver wants to try to give NBA teams a chance to win something else besides the Larry O'Brien trophy. The question is, and even the league acknowledges this, how long is it going to take our sports mentality to accept that, hey, I should get excited that my team won the Stern Cup this season? And I think even the league knows it's going to take a long, long time to kind of change the way we think as American sports fans.
Brother, they're not going to name it the Stern Cup, are they?
You know I'm not getting behind that.
I've got an open mind about all things, but you know I'm not getting behind that. You know I'm not getting behind the Stern Cup. Mark Stein, my guest. Mark, you and I spoke after you were named the recipient of the Kirk Gowdy Award, but I think this is the first time we have spoken since the ceremony. What was that experience like for you?
I was there, and I still don't believe it. It was... I found out in February that I was getting the award. I spent the next 7 months worrying every day about my speech. And I think you're in for the same, my friend. It is very, very surreal, humbling, nerve-wracking. But when it's done, when you, after you've given that next day, I was floating. It was an indescribable feeling. And then to go to the actual induction ceremonies the next day and just be surrounded by Hall of Famers, I don't know that I'll ever have the words for it.
You know, and actually, Mark, I did my ceremony a few weeks back, and you nailed it. That's exactly how it felt to me. How did the speech go? How much time were you given for the speech, and how did that go?
I went way over. They said 5 minutes. Of course, I went way over. And it felt 5 minutes when I wrote it, but it somehow turned out to be like 12.
Always.
I mean, how nervous were you? I mean, you're a born speaker. Maybe, you know, I'm not you, so maybe for you it was a layup. But
no, I was nervous. No, we were all nervous. Who were some of the other Hall of Famers? Who were you hobnobbing with?
I mean, I'm such a nostalgist, and I love, you know, the 70s, the 80s. I mean, I always go back to when I was a kid. Like, I was so excited on Friday that I looked over to the right of me, and Artis Gilmore was sitting there. And I don't think I've even met Artis Gilmore. I haven't spoken to Artis Gilmore, but I'm sure you remember in The White Shadow, Artis Gilmore had a huge kind of role in that show without ever really being in it, where they just talked about him all the time. And so it's like, wow, Artis Gilmore is right there. And then Bernard King, when I was in high school, Bernard King was probably my favorite player. He was sitting right behind me. Like, that's just, for me, that was pinch me stuff.
Hey, Mark, don't get me started, especially since we're almost out of time, but in terms of The White Shadow, not only was that maybe my favorite TV show ever, one of my favorite shows that I ever hosted was a reunion show that I did with members of the cast of The White Shadow. Man, how good was that show, and how much did that show mean to you growing up?
Well, that's the thing that you know, fans today can't even understand. When we were kids, the NBA was not the international power that it is now. Now, obviously, growing up in Southern California, the Lakers were on, but the Clippers were never on, and you saw more basketball watching The White Shadow in the late 70s than you saw the actual NBA. At least that's the way I remember it. I moved to Southern California in 1978, right when The White Shadow was in its heyday, and that was the basketball that we saw most. I mean, that show, the cultural impact of that show, and if you love basketball, I mean, that show was an absolute must to watch.
No, I mean this sincerely. John Entz, who was producing my show at Fox when I was there, we struck up this conversation. I'm like, you like The White Shadow? He's like, I love it. I said, why don't we do a reunion show? Mark, I've never, in all the thousands of TV shows I've hosted, I've never been so disappointed to have a show end as I was The White Shadow reunion show, and I know you understand that. Mark Stein covers the NBA for the New York Times. He is the man behind the New York Times NBA newsletter and the recipient of the 2019 Kirk Gowdy Media Award. Damn, Mark, I'm sorry this show is over. Great to have you back, brother. Thank you so much. Mark Stein.
Always ready to hop in the jungle, man.
My man, you've always been good like that. Appreciate you, Mark. Great job. Congrats to you.